If you got your Bible and you want to turn along with us, we're going to begin at the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. It's the last chapter in God's written word. And I'll draw your attention to three specific verses before we get started. Each one of these are written in red because they're the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You begin with verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Now, you go to verse 12. "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Then you stroll all the way down to verse 20, toward the end. "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly." All three of these verses have words that are the same. And if I were to ask you to look at all three of these verses and to pick one word which is the exact same in all three, I'm going to say the vast majority are going to say the word quickly. Some of you might even say the word I. To a lesser degree, there is one word, one four-letter word that is in all three of these verses. It's the word come, C-O-M-E. It's a small word, but it has significant importance in the Word of God. How much so? It's used over 1,900 times, 700 times in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus Christ uses the word 195 times himself. It's a small word, but it has significant importance. And if you do a little study on the word, if you were to pull out your concordance and just see how it's used in a context, a different context, about 40 different times altogether. So it means a lot, and it's worth noting. It's worth studying. Let's give you some examples. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus Christ says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus Christ says there is a category, there is a specific time, a specific category in which a specific people can come unto him. And the way the word is used in this particular instance is probably the most common that it's used in the Bible. It means to appear. "Appear unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Well, you turn over to Matthew chapter 12, you go to verse 28, Jesus is talking to the Jews about how if he is casting out devils in the name of Beelzebub, then he's a house divided. You get to verse 28, he says, "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you." That's totally different. That's totally different than how he used it in chapter 11. In this particular instance right here, it denotes an action that is already completed. So it's past tense. "Then the kingdom of God is coming to you." It's used in a multitude of different ways. And you have to understand how it's used in each specific context in which it is used. Because there are times in the Bible where one word does not mean the same thing all the way throughout. It's used differently. And it's used for a different purpose. Let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, if you look at verse 37, Jesus Christ says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and in him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out." You go all the way down to verse 44, you see where Jesus says, "No man can come to me, except the Father which has sent him," or "sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." So if you start reading this, you would say, well, wait a minute. In 37, Jesus says, "All that the Father hath given to me shall come to me." But then you've got another category of people all the way down to 44, which says, Jesus says, "No man can come to me." So how do you reconcile that? Again, you got to understand that it's used in different ways. It's different contexts depending upon the conversation itself. When you read it in verse 37, you need to understand that it doesn't mean necessarily appear like it did we were just talking about. Now, in 44, it does. But in 37, when he says, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, that pretty much means arrive. All that the Father giveth to me shall arrive unto me. Why? Because the Father gave them to him. And if the Father does something, it will come to pass. And then you go down to 44 where it says, no man can come to me. Jesus Christ is saying, no man can come to me. No one, not of your own volition, not of your own will, not of your own ability. None of you have the ability to come unto me. None of you have the ability to appear unto me. The only way you have the ability to appear unto me and seek me, if you have a heavy burden, is the fact that God the Father has already appeared unto you. He's already come unto you. Now, what do we call that? We call that regeneration. We call that the work of the Holy Spirit, the effectual call of the Holy Spirit, whereby the dead alien sinner is made alive. He's quickened, and God has placed a measure of grace into that dead alien sinner's heart. And when that measure of grace is imparted into a dead alien sinner, then at that point, the dead alien sinner, who is an elect child of God, has the ability to come unto God, to seek Jesus Christ, to relieve him of his burdens, to relieve him of what he's going through. He has the ability to do it. He still has a sinful nature that wants to be apart and separate, but God has blessed this dead alien sinner with life, made him new. That gives him the ability to come before God. Go with me to Mark chapter 1. And in Mark chapter 1, if you start reading in Mark, you read in chapter 1, chapter 5, and chapter 9, you're going to come to three different scenarios that are actually similar, even though they are different in ways. And what do we mean by that? In Mark chapter 1, to begin with, right after you read where he calls the sons of Zebedee, you're going to read where he goes into the synagogue and he's going to meet up with a man with an unclean spirit. You know what he's going to tell him? He tells a man with an unclean spirit, hold thy peace and come out of him. That word come right there does not mean appear. It does not mean the same thing that we just talked about in John chapter 6. It means to depart. He says, hold thy peace and come out of him. He's going to say the same thing when you read in John or Mark chapter 5. You're going to come where he meets up with legion. Many unclean spirits within a man. He tells legion, he tells the spirits, come out of him. He tells the same thing to the boy with the deaf and the dumb spirit in Mark chapter 9. You know, that's the one where the father says, Lord, I believe. No, he says, Father, I believe, help thou my unbelief. He says, come out of him. Depart from him. You contrast what he tells them there, all these unclean spirits, with John chapter 11, which is the chapter of the resurrection of Lazarus. What does he tell Lazarus? Lazarus, come forth. He didn't tell Lazarus to depart. Lazarus is dead. You know what he tells Lazarus there? Come forth. That may not be the most common usage or the common instance of when the word come is used, but it means the most. It has the most feeling. You know how it's used right there? It's a heavy emphasis on action, and it literally means to get to the near of. Jesus Christ is telling a dead man, get to the near of me. And the dead man who can do absolutely nothing comes to Jesus. He gets to the near of Jesus because that call is so strong that the dead man can't resist it. That which has no life in it cannot resist the call of God the Father through Jesus the Son. He comes to him directly. Can't do nothing to get there. You think about that. He says, get to the near of me. And that dead body gets to the near of him because life is given back to him. Listen, when I was little, I totally remember growing up and having to do all kind of things on my Saturday afternoons because we had cows. You know, I did not like the fact that we had to spend our Saturdays dealing with cows because I knew all my buddies were going fishing on Saturdays. That's what I wanted to do. I was a little guy. That's what I wanted to do. That was fun to me. I didn't want to deal with cows. And one of the things that we had to do, if you have cows, you know you're always doing something. You're clearing fence rows. You're repairing fence rows. You're dealing with the cows themselves. You got to shut them up. You got to run them through, vaccinate them, do everything with them. Or you got to fix your barn. You know, I remember one specific Saturday, which my brother is 5 years older than me, and to this day, I do not understand why I was given the job of holding the ladder while my dad went up to the top of the barn, and my brother was given a job to do something else. You know, he was supposed to do something else. And then I'm standing here holding the ladder for my dad while he goes on top of the barn to do some things. And then out of nowhere, my brother shows back up. And it's not enough for him to just show up and tell me, or to show me basically that you've got the hard job. I don't. He starts goading me into doing things. Why don't you get those slats? You know, those slats that dad's using to fix the barn up there. Why don't you grab those slats? I'm going to back up a few paces. I'm going to throw some rocks at you. You hit them. And I think to myself, well, you know what? I can do that. I've got one hand free. I can do that. I can hold the ladder with one hand. So I back up, hold on the ladder with one hand. My brother starts throwing the rocks. I'm sending them out into the pasture. Everything looks okay. You know, dad's still up there. He's still doing fine. So I said, you know what? I could probably do better if I use two hands. So I use two hands, and I put one foot on the ladder as if I'm magically holding the ladder with a foot in place. All right? Now, bear in mind, my dad's 15 feet up there, 15, 20 feet up there. And I'm holding the ladder with one foot. All right. So I'm hitting the rocks back into the pasture left and right. And then I look back and dad's still doing okay. I'm like, well, you know what? He's probably all right. I can probably let go and still continue to do this. So I let go and continue to do this. And probably about the sixth or seventh time that I catch a good one and there's a big echo coming through the air, my dad understands that there's something going on. My dad understands there's something not quite right. So that's when he turns and looks down and sees us. My dad did not have to say, get to the near of me. He did not have to say, come here. The simple fact that he was coming down the ladder was enough for me to know something was about to happen and it wasn't good. Well, when Jesus Christ says unto Lazarus, come unto me, that is something good that's happening. Get unto the near to me. He doesn't say depart. He says get to the near of me, because that is the effectual call of the Holy Spirit. And that is a wonderful illustration of the process of regeneration, whereby which God uses his life-giving call to give life to the dead alien sinner. And that which was dead is made alive. One simple word has a lot of meaning. One simple word gives you the ability to accurately depict and tell and explain the work of regeneration, the work of the effectual call of the Holy Spirit, and what it does to the dead alien sinner, what it gives to the elect child of God. You go to John 11, which is the resurrection of Lazarus. If you keep reading, you go to Mark chapter 5, which is Jairus' daughter. You keep reading, go to Luke chapter 7. You're going to read where Jesus Christ passes a funeral procession, for lack of a better word. There's a young man that's in a bier, and the procession is going by where Jesus is going. You know what each three of these individuals have in common? Jairus' daughter, who's referred to as a damsel. Jairus' daughter, Lazarus, and that young man, all three of them are in a condition of death. They are not doing anything. They are dead as they could possibly be. Does anyone take any of these people to Jesus Christ? No. Jesus Christ comes to each one himself. There is no way that a dead man can come to him, and there's no way that anyone could bring them in the condition that they were in to Jesus Christ for him to give them life, for them to be a part of it. Jesus Christ went to each one specifically, each one individually, and he called to each one specifically and each one individually. He says, Lazarus, come forth. Get to the near of me. He says, damsel, arise. He said, young man, arise. In each and every one of these instances, Jesus Christ went to the dead person. They didn't come to him. Now you read where Jesus Christ heals those that are sick, the lame, sick with a palsy, the blindness. Yeah, you've got people that bring those people. If they can't make it on their own, you've got friends, you've got relatives that bring these people in these conditions to Jesus Christ. Come unto me, ye that are weak and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. There's a category of people that Jesus Christ said, you can come to me. But when you talk about the dead alien sinner, he cannot. Jesus Christ comes to each and every one that God gave him before the foundation of the earth to redeem on Calvary's cross all together, collectively, at one time. Redemption didn't just take place individually throughout specific points in time. It took place all together at one time for all of those that God had given to Jesus Christ to redeem, each and every one. That's why you say the Father elected, past tense, because it's already done. We say the Son redeemed, past tense, because it's already done. And that's why you say the Holy Spirit calls. You don't say it in a past tense because it's an ongoing work. The Holy Spirit doesn't call and regenerate each individual person all together collectively at one period in time. It's a specific time that the Father knows, but it's done individually for each individual person. And that work of regeneration will be done sometime between life and conception for the elect child of God. So that child of God can spend eternity with a loving Father. One simple word, C-O-M-E, used a multitude of different times in the Word of God for different specific purposes. But a study of this word will help you understand and to be able to accurately explain the doctrines and the principles of what the grace our Father imparted upon each and every one of us, each and every one of His elect children, what He did for us. And may God bless us to study, understand it, and know how to apply it. Thank you.